anyway, he pastored a church. He said, and he said, almost straight across the road, he said, a little lady lived, you know. And then not too far from the church, his Sunday school teacher and family lived down there with the lady across the street. She had some kids, and said he said she might come to church 3 times a year, maybe. And said, but every time the kids got sick, you know, she'd call him up and want him to come pray for the kids, you know, anoint them with oil, she'd quote scripture to him. And he'd go over there and pray, and they'd get healed every time. He said his Sunday school teacher said they were hardly ever out of church, faithful to church, and all of that stuff, and said that they would call him up, he said, and have the same symptoms, kids, you know, going to school together, whatever. He said, his Sunday school teacher just never got healed. I mean, he'd never seen him. You know, he said, and I'm sitting and I'm trying to figure this one out. Why are these people, this one that maybe comes to church 3 times a year, maybe, and they don't get healed, and these people that go to church all the time, go down there, he said, and I'm sitting there, he said, it's just bothering me. He said, and all of a sudden, I just tell the Lord, okay, Lord, I don't understand this. How is this happening? He said, and I could just see like a movie theater going on. He said, I seen them. He said, and I could see me going and praying, you know. He said, I could see. He said, just all of a sudden, I realized how come that was happening. He said, every time I would go to the lady across the street, he said, one time she met me out in the middle of the road on my way there. Said, but most of the time, he said, only one time I can ever remember her at least not coming to the porch, you know. He said, then I could see the Sunday school teacher and their kids. He said, and I went down there to call. He said, they called, and I went down there. He said, they knew I was coming. She knew I was coming. And she met out in the road and at least on to the porch. And he said, I went to the Sunday school teacher's house. He said, and I knocked on the door. Didn't nobody come. Didn't hear nothing. He said, I knocked and knocked. He said, now they knew what's coming. He said, and finally I hurt my knuckles. He said, so I pulled out my pocket knife. He said, the back peck, peck. He said, I knocked with a pocket knife. This is a true story. He said, I knocked with a pocket knife. He said, and about the second or third time, they opened the door and said, oh, it's you. It's just you. He said, and all of a sudden, he said, I could see it. He said, now the woman across the street said, according to the Bible, I've called on the elders of the church, anoint them with oil. He said, and she would say, they will be healed. And he said, then I could see them telling me, you can anoint them with oil, but we never get healed. The ones that go to church. How many of those, that's what Teresa was talking about somewhat this morning. Yeah. Is having unbelief, you know, and it hindered the church going folk from getting healed. But the one down there, that she had been saved, found out later she had been saved, you know, before and everything, but her faith. There's a difference in church-going people and believing people. Amen. And that's how come when challenges come up in believers. I'm not talking about somebody that's been saved.
Right.
I am not talking about somebody that's been saved. I'm talking about believers. Amen. Believers are believers. They work on being believers 24/7. They work on it all the time. They're not just when they need their bills met. And I've been there where I got saved, you know, and wanted God to fix all my problems and fix all my bills. And you know, I mean, and you know, he did. He gradually fixed things in my marriage, and but there's one thing that I can go back thinking about. I had many challenges on the 27 year old young man that I was when I give my heart to Jesus. I've made a lot of wrong choices, a lot of mistakes, a lot of things in mine and Teresa's past for 7 years that were really, really challenging stuff, you know, to overcome as a Christian, to live this life of faith. But I was up for it. I thought, well, bless God, you know what? If God's really real, then I've got to find out what he'll do in that Bible. I've got to find out. People's told me, you know, divorce is inevitable. I never wanted a divorce. I never have one divorce, and I'm not ever going to get one. Now, I'm not down on everybody. Been divorced 18,000 times. Don't get under condemnation. I'm not about that. I'm about that. What the challenges in my journey and what turning to the God of this universe and what letting him have the reins in my life. Some people say, Jesus, take the wheel, you know, and that's, I mean, however you want to say it. And so when challenges arises, we can't be like the children of Israel, like Teresa was talking about this morning. If you miss Sunday school, go back in there and listen to it. She's talking about willful unbelief, having willfully unbelief, willing not to believe, right, is willful unbelief. If you know something's in the Bible and you choose not to believe it and not to act on it, you are willfully in willful unbelief. And that will, Psalm 78 said that those people limited the Holy One of Israel. Right. And I sat back there and listened to that sermon. Now, I don't want to hear it on unbelief because I have it in areas of my life at times.
Right.
You know, but it's not good for me or anybody to allow unbelief at any given time. Because it will cause a Christian to disobey God. Just like there's people sitting at home this morning. They've got their reasons, and I don't down people or judge people. They know they should go to church, and they don't. That is willful unbelief. Because you know what the Bible says, forsake not you. You don't even have to have that scripture. There's something on the inside of you if you are a Christian to get up and go to church. That's the Spirit of God on the inside of us, you know. And so that's willful disobeying the Lord. I mean, for me not to obey the Lord, I've been called for the body. I'm a gift for the body of Christ in Ephesians over there. I'm a pastor. I'm an apostle, actually. I'll operate under the teaching anointing. All of those anointings I can operate under when he wills.
Right.
Anybody can, you know. Well, for me to quit on the journey and say, well, God, I was thinking about this morning. I thought, well, I fell through the ceiling, you know. And I thought about it this morning. I thought, Lord, you caused me to hit flat of my back, I believe. Because I could have hit sideways or anything and broke my chest open.
Right.
I mean, I don't weigh 180. That's a pretty good bit at 10 foot.
Right.
I thought you protected me, Lord. Well, I got right up and felt very discouraged. I stood up and looked around what a mess I'd created for y'all. Now, it might not seem like nothing to you, but I mean, I was trying here, you know, to fix things. That's what I made them worse. And so I stood there, and I felt very discouraged. I had a pile of insulation that high. All the ceiling tore down. My arms scraped up. And we're supposed to have service Wednesday.
That night.
Huh?
It was that night.
Oh, that night.
Yeah, it was a Wednesday.
And so I felt very, very discouraged. Now, some people are like, praise God, we don't have to go to church. Praise God, he fell through the ceiling. Praise God. That's unbelief. I mean, that's just unbelief manifested. So I got up, you know, and the first thing I thought, well, just quit. Just quit pastoring, man. They deserve somebody better. You know, I should have been paying more attention. They should have a nicer building anyways. And I'm just telling you the challenge right there. That wasn't my first rodeo. I mean, you know, but I had a choice. I could have turned my back on God. God told me to come here. You know, he told me to pastor here in Bluntsville. You know, just like he told you to come to church here. If he told you to come to church here, well, then you're in the perfect will of God. You're not in that. But there's going to be challenges on your journey. I've actually told the Lord before, Lord, why don't you send Teresa back to Faith Restoration? Been a long time. Because she's that grain of sand in that whatever she called it. Clown to me, has been, you know. You know, I mean, but she was, I believe that she sharpened me.
Yeah.
But you know, I could have quit. I got a pearl out of that.
Yeah.
She got a pearl out of that. I'm not perfect. You know, I think I'm close to it. Now I got some changing to do. I'm just being funny with you. But you know what? I mean, I stood there and I thought, you might feel that as a person, a mom, it don't have to be falling through the ceiling. It can be your shortcomings. It can be, you know, the enemy will use anything to get you in unbelief. He was trying to get me in unbelief. All he was trying to do with those thoughts, don't the Bible tell us, casting down those thoughts and imaginations that exalt yourself above the knowledge of God and casting out all, bringing every thought into captivity to Christ? Don't it say it? It does. There's a reason why you better cast those thoughts out.
Yeah.
Now, if they're coming in here and God's dealing with you about issues in your life, you know, there won't be no condemnation, God. I'm just aware. You'll know it in here and you'll be like, God, I want to change, God. And when the word comes forth and you realize you've been in unbelief and all of that, it won't make you feel just like quitting. It'll cause you to say, I got to rise up. I got to rise higher than this.
Amen.
You know, I've got to go on into Canaan land.
Right.
I got to go in there. I don't care what the rest of them are saying. You know, that's what Caleb and Joshua did. They steal the people. In other words, they probably said, shut y'all stupid mouths. God told us down yonder this would happen. God told us there was enemies in there. God never promised you a rose garden, sweetheart. He said, take up our cross and follow him. That cross is the flesh, really. That cross is me and you learning as we go and walk with God to be obedient to him, you know, to be obedient in our marriage, to be obedient, to repent.
Amen.
You know, to repent, God, I'm sorry. I really, really made a mess out of my life, God.
Right.
God, even as a Christian, I made a bunch of them since I've been a Christian. I made royal messes in my life and found myself on my knees. See, that would be rebellion if I didn't. When I realized, you know, that my life is affecting everybody around me and I really don't care.
Right.
It's affecting my wife and, you know, different things, you know. But those challenges on our journey, if we will stay in faith, stay in a right spirit, stay connected, stay plugged into the Word of God, you know, God will bring, he might not deliver you out of your trouble. I told the Lord one time when I got into some major trouble, I said, God, just send me all the money, God. I'll fly out there and fix it. I told him that. You know what, David? He didn't. He had a journey he wanted me to walk on, and he wanted me to learn some things through hardship, and he wanted me to be more prayerful about decisions that I made. That I didn't make none without him. He let me suffer and go through some of the wrong choices that I made. You know, he sent me the money to pay my house payment one time and I spent it on Fridays. The only time I was ever late on our house payment, I reckon, wasn't it? The only time. Because I didn't want him to do without Christmas. It wouldn't have made no difference if it was July and I wanted to take him swimming. God brought me the money to pay my bill, like I was believing him.
Right.
And then my emotions overrode wisdom.
Right.
And then I spent that on, I never did it again.
Yeah.
I suffered because of that.
Yeah.
And the Lord didn't bring it right quick. He let me be late. And then the next time when money come in to pay that bill, see, what I'm saying here is God he wants us prayerfully making decisions. He wants us to use what he brings us where and when he wants us to use it. What he wants to do. Because who knows what's best for me and you? And then we begin to walk higher in the authority, and he begins to release more authority in our lives to loose and bind things. The Bible says in Mark 11, it says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. End of it. Believe. He didn't say pray all night. Teresa talked about that. I've had people to tell me, and she has too. We've been up praying all night long, and we ain't seen nothing, and they're still sad. They ain't been praying right. You don't pray and beg God all night long, and you feel worse and feel defeated in the morning, and you ain't been in touch with God. Because when you touch God, when you're in the Spirit of God, when you're praying in faith, hallelujah, I'm telling you, when you get done, you're about glory to God, hallelujah. Woo, give me that rope. I'll go ride that bull. I ain't gonna do it without him. I don't want in my challenges without him. I don't want up against the enemy without him. I want to be able to know my enemies. If any of y'all are my enemies, I don't think y'all. I try to keep you close. So I know you. Jesus didn't kick him out of the 12.
Right.
Kept him close. But he told him, you're gonna deny me. Peter? Yeah, we ain't. But see, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:12, he says, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold. But you know what I did? I just repented standing right here, and I said, God, I'm sorry that I would even challenge you in what you've called me to do here, sir. Although I fell through the ceiling, I feel like a failure. I feel like I failed the people. We're not going. You know, it depresses me not to have a Wednesday night service if it's my fault. Why? Because y'all need it. I fast and pray and believe God for you to be here every service. I really do. I love you. I care for you. I sacrifice things for you. I want to. I do it for Jesus. And God takes care of me. And God, I mean, he just blesses me. Hallelujah. And he will you too.
Amen.
But you know, you ain't got time to get in unbelief. You need to be believing God that 2022 is when you get your house, when you get your car, and believe for your marriage to get better and better, your relationship with your family to get better and better. I'm doing it. I'm believing. But I'm not just sitting there believing. I'm doing things to make it happen. Call your things in. I like what Zach's doing. Got him a steering wheel cover. You know where he got that? I taught it to him. I'd heard it back under, but God, and I thought, well, man, you know what? I can take these teenagers and build faith in God with that. Hallelujah. And I've done it. It didn't originally come from me. I don't remember what minister I got it from, but they had talked about it and I'd heard testimony. So I started using that when I would talk to teenagers. And I seen them get their steering wheel covers and ain't got a car and parents can't afford it and all that. I seen it. And I told them, take it in there, hang it up on your door where you can see it. And every time you go in, you say, thank you, Lord, for that car that steering wheel cover goes on. The ones that I would minister to, they'd say, well, Dad, them can't afford it. Mom, them can't afford a car. So I would take them off of Mom and Dad, wean them right quick. Right. Just wean them right quick. They say, well, don't put pressure on Mom and Dad. They're doing the best they can do. You know, you believe God, hallelujah. And you know, God may use Dad and Mom, but he'll honor you. And he always does, though. But you know what? We can teach our kids unbelief. We can't afford it around here. We can't afford nothing. That is unbelief.
Yeah.
You can afford anything God says you can have. All you've got to do is pray and make sure God wants them to have a bicycle. Make sure God wants them to have a rabbit. Make sure God wants them to have a horse. Make sure God wants them to have a dirt bike. Make sure, find the will of God.
Yeah.
And then stop that. Stop saying that to your kids, hallelujah, because we got a good, good Father. Yes, He is. We just sing it. Well, do we believe it?
Amen.
He knows what we need before we ask.
Yep.
So, should we go to Him and find out what we need?
Yep.
We should find it out. I know what I want, a Shakespeare. I want a Shakespeare reeling rod. You may need a Walmart reeling rod. Well, that may carry Shakespeare off. Hallelujah. Finding out the will of God. See, challenges are going to come on your journey as you walk with the Lord to get you into unbelief, to get you not to believe God, so that God is limited in your life. And limited in my life, hallelujah. Told him this morning, real early this morning, I didn't really feel good when I got up. You know what I'm saying? You know, I thought about cooking breakfast and I kind of felt nauseated. I got up and I said, shut up, idiot.
Right.
Look, God, I'm going in earnest. Tracy, you want the oven on? Yes, I want the oven on. She's just now finding out about it. Don't mope through the house with the way you feel.
Right.
Get up and do what you're supposed to. I'm supposed to cook breakfast. I've been doing it for 30 years nearly. And God ain't told me to stop it. Not really like eggs. Now, I did have to buy faith, eat turkey bacon and turkey bacon and turkey link sausage. And see, it's hard for me to believe God. My heart ain't going to stop up and keep eating that pork. It's hard to believe God. Mom, take this cholesterol out of this bacon. In the name of Jesus, I speak to you. Leave. Loose. Make it nourishment for my body. I just find it hard. I can't because the doctor told me it's all in it. So I have to sit there thinking, oh, this is the best bacon ever. It's not. We walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
See, some of the choices we ought to make on our journey for it to be good for us don't feel good. Don't. It's not what we want. It's not what we feel. I have felt plumb depressed with the will of God before. How can this be God's will? He's taking me to the cross. God's will is taking me to the Red Sea. God's will is taking me to the Jordan out of banks. God's will is taking me to the enemies, the Jebusites up there. They're all in there eating my grapes, man.
Yeah, that's right.
He took me to the battle. He took them to the battle. He took them out in the heat in the desert and put a cloud over them. He took them out where they would freeze at night without some heat and put a fire by night. He rained manna out of heaven. He's still the same God today.
Hallelujah.
He rained manna out of heaven and told them, don't gather up nothing. Sandy said it up here every time. See, he's just showing her what an everyday provider I am. I got that out of it. What an everyday provider I am for you, Sandy, because you have trusted me. You have been faithful to me. You have been a tither. And I blessed you. You look out in the parking lot now, Sandy. See, I know somewhat where she come from back yonder. I've been in this family for about 38 years. And she looks out in the parking lot, is that mine? Man, that's too nice to be mine. See, and some people, God's blessed their life and don't even acknowledge He's been in their life and all that, and they live in good houses and all that, and they're going to die one day, and God's going to say, I was looking out for you when you didn't even give me the time of day. I loved you, and you wouldn't even walk with me. I loved you, and you wouldn't have faith. I loved you, and you wouldn't build my kingdom. I loved you anyway. But this reward here is not yours. People are going to be shocked. People are going to be shocked how when God plays a record for them one day, how he kept them in nice cars because somebody prayed. He wanted to pour his favor out but couldn't. See, if the children of Israel would have just stayed in faith, they could eat the grapes, Caleb and Joshua and them did.
Right.
They went in. They wasn't afraid of those enemies because they wasn't looking at those enemies. They was looking at what God's word, God had told them down there. There's going to be these hedges, whatever them enemies are there. He said, but I'm going to send an angel before you, and I'm going to drive them out. Well, they should have remembered that when they got there. When you get in your challenge, don't forget the words you hear at church and read. And look at it and say, God, where are you? God, where are you? Go back and say, Brother Scott, he said, greater is he that's in us. If you ain't even read your Bible, go back and quote what I said when it's in line with the Bible. Scotty said, greater is he, glory to God. He's on the inside of me.
Hallelujah.
I have God's wisdom. Praise God, that Bible says if a man like wisdom, see, I'm not going to stay stupid. When I've got something supernatural, wisdom, that I can tap into and use,
right,
that'll lead me in a path of prosperity.
Amen.
Saving money was the smartest thing I ever done, one of them. I was talking to somebody the other day, and talking about, I don't remember who it was. I was down there getting some tires put on something. And somebody said something about, did I ask Teresa about putting tires on the trailer? I looked at him and I said, I'm the man of the house.
Yeah.
I said, I didn't ask her about putting, this is how I make a living, homeboy. I said, I'm the man of my house. I said, I'll remind her every now and then. I said, and I do remind her every now and then that I am the best thing ever happened to you other than Jesus. He looked at me and he said, do you? I said, yes. I do. I said, and vice versa.
Amen.
I mean, Teresa tells me, save money. Shut up, devil. Save money. Shut up, devil. Get behind me, yeah. Get behind me. Save money. Teresa,
I'm telling you right now, if we don't save money, it's not going to be well with us.
And then you go off and you hear it. It's not going to be well with us. Oh, so I go start saving money. Hearken unto the voice of the Lord, even if it's through your husband or wife.
Right.
Lord told us to save money one time. Told us to put up some money. We couldn't afford to save money. We didn't have no money to save. Well, I wasn't making thousands of dollars. Man, we put up $10 or $15 a week, and I wasn't saving it for Travis. Like God, my kids better be making their own money. I mean, Trisha, I made her quit buying his shoes. I mean, it's her only kid. I reckon he's going to be 55, and she's going to still be buying his shoes. Not with my money. But you know, the Lord told us. And then it wasn't long, Roger died. Dar's husband died. What, I don't know, you're so down the road. And didn't have money to get to, so it wasn't. What did we give him money for? Wasn't it Roger?
They didn't have burial, yeah, it was Roger. They didn't have burial insurance.
Didn't have burial insurance.
No,
whatever.
It was Eddie.
No,
well, whoever it was, we give
Roger
$500
for Roger.
Anyhow, don't matter. What I'm saying here is,
yes,
the Lord told us to save money.
Right.
And whoever it was, don't make me no difference, the Lord spoke to us and said, give that to them.
Right.
Now, I thought, oh man, we were saving that. And he said, I know. I needed you to have that.
Right.
Where I could bless them. Yeah. And I'm thinking, man, I could have bought me a Toyota with that, man. You know, you're down there still thinking about yourself like I was,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
Man, they don't need a tombstone, dude. They ain't there anyways. They're gone. That's going to help these people. I've been to my dad's grave a couple of times. People say it's wrong in me, and that's fine. God didn't care about that. He don't go to the graveside. They talk to him. Daddy, we miss you, Dad. He ain't in there. He is not in that box, in that grave. My daddy is not there.
Right.
Now, I'm not against going to the graves. I mean, that's good. Don't you even take that as, you know, praise God, hallelujah. My mom asked me one time, why don't you go to the graveyard? I said, Mom, Dad's not there.
Yeah.
I said, I'll take you over there and you can talk to him if you want to, but he's not there. I said, the Bible says to be absent from the body. I said, you can open the box up. I said, it is a pile of bones and dust. I said, I know that because the Bible says that we will return to dust. I said, and I realize that what's it, see what I'm saying here, that could get me oppressed every Christmas. Oh, I miss Dad. I miss Mom. My mom, Dad's gone, and getting oppression half the year.
Right.
No, I praise God for the life that I had 18 years with my daddy. I rehearsed that over and over and over. My dad, I stood by his side riding to Florida, and I slept on his shoulder standing on the seat. I didn't lay down. I stood beside my daddy going to Florida and back and leaned on him. And when he was sitting watching TV, I would get up in under his arms, you know, and just I would sit there and watch cartoons with Dad. No, I rejoice in that. I thank God that he gave me. That's how you got to get the victory over oppression in that.
Yeah.
And then I think how good it was with my mom. You know, my mom ain't been gone that long. One day, if Jesus don't come back, Travis will go out and do the same thing. I'm leaving here.
Right.
Yeah. Y'all are leaving here. Everybody y'all leaving here sooner or later.
Right.
Either by resurrection or by the grave, you know. Just make sure you die in faith.
Amen.
You die in Jesus, walking with Jesus. See, challenges on our journey, you know, I mean, many times have we been challenged here to quit and give up because, you know, not only dealing with people's issues that I know more about most of y'all than you think I do. But I don't think much on it much. I just don't consider your stuff much. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. But I focus in on getting all of us straightened out a little bit more. Walking a little bit more closer to the Lord Jesus. Because all of those, see, I mean, it makes you want to get, it's kind of like running a business and nobody will come to work. You know, church is the same way. Well, I don't have that problem. I go when I want to. I know. You're making that church miserable every time you don't go. Your brothers and sisters probably would love to see you when you don't go, when you can't. There's a difference when you can't go and can. There's a difference. God knows if you really don't have the ability to do something that he's asked you to do. And he knows how to bring the power.
Amen.
The anointing. You know, the Lord told me one time, he said, son, I didn't call you because you can do it all. He said, I called you because I knew that you would be willing and that you would be obedient when I empowered you in the things that I've called you to do. But you know, challenges on your journey are going to come. The Bible says, don't think it's strange when these fiery trials. Now, if you're creating fiery trials, come on, snap out of it. I don't try to create blizzards in my life. I try to put out fires. I ain't gonna just bring home a pony for Aubrey. That would not sit well at home. I better talk about a pony and pray about it. That's $500. $1,000 if you get one trained already. Some things we need to talk over as husbands and wives. We need to talk things over here.
Right.
Y'all hurt my feelings. Every one of y'all hurt my feelings. The only one ain't hurt my feelings. Because I've got my feelings off my shoulder when I'm around her. She's a straight up. She's like straight. Her and straight. Big Blunt. Both of them should have been named Blunt. Told me one time, I said, good Lord, I don't know where all that money went. She looked at me and she said, you spent it. I thought, well, why don't you just tell me like preacher does? I want to come back and say, no, man, I don't remember all of it. No, no, she's got the answer. Look. Look. I don't care what you think. She told me she did. You blowed a bunch of money somehow. I thought, man, she's worse than Jesus. I thought it was straight up, man. She's jacking me up. Praise God. But you know what? I went off and I thought, well, but God, if faith one it knows, it's her. She knows everything about all that. I gave it to her. She figured it out. She done it all. And she knows she's got the bottom line. I blew too much money this year. Man, I better do something next year because I ain't got not a pencil to show all that money that I blew. And she said, I have. I can't figure out where it went. I mean, it's just not good to spend the next year like that. I need to do something for next year and say, nah, man. I told Travis he'd get back these tax credits with his kids, you know. And I told him, I said, you need to opt out of that sending every month. Nothing wrong with getting it every month. That's what you want. I said, y'all opt out. And then I told him, I said, as long as you get that back, you need to have something to show every year. You don't need to blow that money every year. Go pay something off. Buy you a car. But that's the Lord. And you know what he's done? He's used it to get himself out of debt and paid cash. Don't owe for none of his vehicles. Guy's down there the other day, and I was talking about his truck down there. Guy looked at me, and he said, what did you say that truck was? I said, it's an 05 four-door, four-wheel drive, you know, Dodge. I said, 220,000, 30,000 miles. He said, call him and tell him I'll give him $14,000 for it right now. I told him.
Nah, better not.
Well, I went over and broke the dude's arm. I'll take the check and the arm. I'll deliver it. I'm giving Travis $10,000 for it. You know why he didn't do it? Because you don't think, oh, $17,000. You're not thinking that way. He's thinking, God give me this. He's done burned himself two or three times when he makes those wrong choices. And so he's fine. His car cranks. He gets into the cranks when he got good battery terminals. They don't make good ones anymore, according to him. I think he just don't keep them clean. But you know what? He don't think that way. He thinks more in, you know, the Lord give me this. The Lord. And I do too. And you want to. We all should. Just like where we go to church, y'all that ain't in church this morning, and you was able. Well, I was hurt, and I said able. You can drive to the grocery store. You don't go to church.
Right.
You know, you can drive to Walmart. You can run from this person and that one, but you can't go to church.
Right.
Really, you're fooling yourself now.
Yeah.
Now, the only time that you get any help is when you get, you know, somebody's get praying for you or something. When a lot of us, we hear from God, we learn how to serve the Lord. We learn how to walk. We're unified. Then we have a corporate anointing out in our living rooms. See, that is absolutely willful unbelief for a Christian to sit home when they can go to church. God spoke to me one time when I didn't have a ride, something was wrong with my ride or whatever, and I said, well, Lord, I don't have none. He said, if you'll believe me, I'll send a taxi. I heard it on the inside. I thought, Lord, God will do a miracle. Yeah. He'll do a miracle. You know what? He ended up with Teresa's Darcy station wagon. Yeah, I'm riding a big wagon to church, man. Something, no, I can't drive that car. Swallow that pride. Get you a 1960, that 7 rusted down Volkswagen until you get rid of all that pride out of your life. I don't care what, give me a donkey. As long as it'll go and don't sit down on me, I'll ride it to church. Some people think they gotta, you know, listen, don't let prosperity and when God brings you, get you into that rebellion. Get you into that thinking you're somebody. You know, you've arrived. You're somebody. Ain't nobody going to... There's a song out, a country song. I ain't heard it, but I heard about it. It said, ain't nobody going to sell me nothing. Ain't nobody going to tell me nothing. Don't listen to that garbage.
Yeah.
You better be listening to the Holy Spirit. He can tell me what he wants to anytime he wants to.
Amen.
My pastor can come to me and say, God spoke to me to tell you something, and I'll say, yes, sir.
Amen.
You better believe I'm changing. Amen. Yes, sir, I'm going to go in a different... Hey, can somebody tell me something?
Amen.
Travis told me one time he's moving out because he don't want to be told what to do. I said, really? I said, you got it made here, son. I said, when you move out and you have your life, they going to tell you what to do. They're going to send you a bill, and they're going to tell you delinquent. They're going to tell you cut off.
Yep.
I said, and if you don't go, I said, they're going to cut it off.
Yep.
I said, they're going to somebody tell you what to do, son.
Yep.
I said, the water company, same thing. Well, he went and run past time one time. They cut it off, and oh, he was griping. Oh, they charged him $95, Johnny, to reconnect it. I heard him gripe. I mean, griping. Griped out. And finally, I got tired of listening to it. I looked at him and I said, whose fault is it? Your water was off. I said, whose fault? What'd you do? Lose your bill money? You didn't pay your bill, did you? Well, no. I said, don't gripe. Just pay your bill, and then you won't be griping about the $95. It's unfair that they charged you. If you had a pager, somebody owed you the truth, right? Don't what I'm saying makes sense?
Right.
They paid somebody $30 an hour to ride out and lock that meter up, I guess. I mean, that fuel wasn't free. I bet you that $30,000 truck they bought to take care of you wasn't free.
Right.
That insurance on it, them tire. See, you got to think beyond what you're, what, I mean, yourself. I mean, here with pure Christian Alabama fire up there, you know, just sucking us dry. Suck it up. Turn that TV off. That sucker is eating kilowatts every time you turn it on. Don't drop at Alabama Power because you're paying them to get to use their electricity. That is rebellion. God, that one time he said, I tell you right now, them people I rent for, they won't ever fix nothing. I said, you're a Christian?
Yeah.
I said, well, leave their house better shape than what you moved in it.
Yeah.
I said, go ask them if you can work on it. Go ask them if they'll buy the material where you can work on it. Go ask them if they'll buy new carpets you're wanting. Go ask them if they'll buy the blocks and you'll be willing to do the work.
Yeah.
I said, help them out. They may have spent $50,000 to buy that house, and it's going to take them 20 years to get it paid for. All you're doing is living in it, helping them get the payment paid. This stuff needs to be preached in the church.
Amen.
It needs to be lived in my house.
Right.
If I borrow your vehicle and it's got a quarter of a tank of gas, I'll bring it back with a full tank. I've seen them pull up there. Now, how much was in there? Oh, I scratched it right there. It had a quarter. Out there, watch it. When it gets up there to where it was, cut the nozzle off. It's $12.50. Can't even round it off.
Yeah.
Well, that's all that was in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but what about using it?
Yeah.
My brother, he used my cattle trailer. They come over there yesterday. Going to somewhere, pick up the cow or something. And the boy's doing it. And he walks around it and picked it up and he said, there ain't no locks on it. I said, so? I said, he said, get there, pull it? No. I said, well, fix them. You can fix them.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I didn't bargain for this now. Put tires on it, put lights on it. All I want to do is go get a cow, but buy your own.
Yeah.
Buy your own trailer. That's not rude, man.
No.
Now, I told him, I said, oh, that'd be fine. It's a farm trailer, man. Take off. He said, boy, yeah, I don't think you have to have lights in the daytime. And I'm like, yeah, you do too.
Yep.
So I told him, I said, well, look, man, I said, if you want to go by the shop, I said, I got a brand new set of lights up there. He said, do you get it for that trailer? I said, well, no, I didn't get it for that trailer. I got another one. I said, but that's fine. that had these lights on it. And I said, if you want to go by there, they're up there on the shelf at my shop, you know. Go by there. I said, you want to take a spare weed? Yeah, better. Well, he took a spare. The bell stem blowed out of one while he was gone. So he had a spare one. Well, you know what? He called me up about 45 minutes later. He said, all the lights are working on it. You know, that's Christianity in its best. Burn my trailer that ain't got no lights and go put lights on my trailer for me.
Yeah.
That's Christianity in its best.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking, God, he should put lights on there. Or somebody wouldn't get a ticket using his trailer. I mean, really, Christians think that way. That's Christianity at its best. I mean, I got, anybody else want to use it? Y'all Christians, you can. I might have to give you a five-pointer before you leave. But I'll get me a tank of gas out of it. But you know what? The Lord will bless you. He'll bless you because he wasn't just thinking about himself. And then when he got back, I called him up and I said, everything go good? About 6 o'clock last night or whatever. Everything go good? Yeah, everything went good. Try to go out. Yeah, it went good, man. You know, he said, I'll pay you for them lights that I put on your trailer. I said, them was mine. He said, well, I know it, but I mean, I appreciate using your trailer. How many Christians do you know like that? Hey, man, could you give me $50 to let me use your trailer? Come on, man, $50. I need some money. I ain't got the gas. I want to borrow your trailer and your truck, and I need some gas money.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you hear.
Yeah.
And then if you don't do it, fine, preacher, Brother Scotty is over there. Talks at prosperity. We're blessed going in and out, and then won't give you a time of day with money. I go to work every day for my money. I don't know about you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not anointed to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
Work and pay you.
Mm-hmm.
You come over there and drive some fence posts, I'll loan you my trailer. Or you can afford to put a tire on there that's flat. I used to leave my trailers loaded. You know what? Yeah, they call. Hey, Brother Scotty, can I use your trailer? Yeah, it's got a slow down with lumber that I need stacked off. But you just, come on. Come on, get. Oh, they changed their mind. They got to find somebody that's unloaded. Brother told me the other day, he said, once you get a trailer to haul that dozer with, I said, for everybody? No, I don't think so. It's going to cost you $500 to move that dozer. Ain't nobody going to want it.
Yeah.
And then they're thinking $500. I'm like, yeah, but it's going to cost you $1,000. Well, how do you figure $1,000? Because you're going to have to get it back.
Yeah.
So it's going to cost you $500 over there and $500 back. They're like, man, I can nearly rent one for that. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
Go rent you one. I like to keep mine all in one piece.
Yeah.
Loan my tractor to a day. I know. I'm talking about challenges on our journey. We got to make the right choices in the journey that we're on. And if we're all about ourselves and thinking just like the children of Israel was, they won't eat the good of the land. The Bible says, if Scotty be willing and obedient, I will eat the good of the land.
Yeah,
I used my tractor one time, went over and had a flat on it. I called him up and I said, hey, about threw my tractor. You can come get it. He come and got it. You can go over and get it somewhere at my daughter's house. And I said, over at your daughter's house. I wanted to say, but I was, you know, wanted to be polite. Why don't you bring it back?
Right.
You come and got it with your trailer. Why don't you bring my tractor back? He's too busy now. I said, well, that's fine. I said, I'll went over there and get it. Get over there, it's got a flat on it. I called him up. I said, hey, did you know the tractor had a flat? Yeah, Brother Scotty, I'm sorry, man. I just ain't had time to fix it. The Lord told me, he said, he just cut himself off from me.
Yeah.
Just like they said, talk about Moses, you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I heard what you said about me.
Right.
And they're saying, we ain't said nothing about Moses. The Lord told me, he said, he just cut himself off. You was a blessing to him. And he just cut himself off from me. Well, I loaded my tractor up. He ain't never got nothing else from me. You won't get the time of day from me. You cut yourself off from me. I could have $10,000 in my wallet, and I'll go get you $5 worth of gas, pour it in, and if you get off the side of the road, that's it. I won't fill your tank up. I'm going to give you barely enough to get home. Y'all be quiet. I know you live in Blountsville. I know our family got lots to do whatever they want to do with us. Travis would do. Tell me one time that dad, if you'd sent me a check, I wouldn't go to work either. I said, you won't ever get one.
Right.
Just send him a check every week, Dave. Who wouldn't? I mean, somebody start offering me a check, and I'm going to take it. I'll probably go to work, and I'm going to take that money. I mean, he wouldn't. Teresa's uncle, he told me, he said, hey, I got a trencher. He said, we can run a line out from your house to Travis's house. He said, I'll bring it over here. I said, he ain't going to drink water off out of my well.
Right.
I said, let him get his own. Well, he was just thinking, save him that $700 for that water meter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said, no, I had to buy my water meter over there. I bought it. I didn't have the money either. I saved that money, bought that water meter. I believe God and bought that water meter. You know what? He's got his own water meter. I told him the other day, Teresa's wanting to swim and put it out there close to his house. I told him the other day, I said, yeah, I'm going to tap into your line out there. I said, man, we're going to do that, but it's going to cost a lot of money to fill that pool up. I said, we're going to just spray water out there. And he went, well, not ever. Why not? You want to do me like that? Time to tap in, baby. Run some electricity down there, too. I'll never turn that pump off. He'd look down there and be like, oh, that's what my light bill is, $150 more a month. Dad's down there, got a heat bug in there now. Shoot, I heat it up in wintertime. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, stay in the right spirit. Stay with the Word of God. Stay willing to yield to the Lord. Not selfish, you know. Don't try not to be selfish at all. God will take care of your needs, praise God. But make sure that you're not in unbelief. Unbelief will stop the hand of God from being able to minister to you. I mean, if you're in unbelief, you believe you'll Satan can speak to you to bless people. And you think it's God.
Yep.
I just don't believe that. I don't believe. Well, you can believe him about other stuff. If you ain't going to ever be worth nothing, go to feeling that way. Right. Acting like it.
Yep.
Ain't no need in changing our marriage. I mean, she just ain't changing. He ain't changing. You listen to him. And that's the same thing. When God says rise up and stay in faith. See, we're coming up on the season. This 2022 is the year that the Lord is going to bring things that you believe for a long time. But Satan's going to come in. He's going to come in and try to get you to cut God off. He's going to try to come in and get you in unbelief. You know, just like going to work, I've thought about getting a job. And I go ask the Lord, and he's going to talk to me. You know, I get sick of being in ministry, you say. Oh, I wish I was in ministry. I said, no, you don't.
Right.
If you get sick of your job and quit, you'd quit this.
Right.
You would quit it. Yeah. I guarantee you. Lord told me one time, he said, you know, you heard the sermon, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He said, I don't want you jumping from job to job. He said, I want you to get in where I put you and stay. So the last one I did, and I've been in this for 20-something years, 28 years, praise God. I could go drive a truck. I can think Monkey's got an engraving job. Just go drive a truck, just some years. I heard him this morning.
Come on.
Buy me a triaxle. I could make $350 a load, $350, $400 a day on it. Yeah, but I got out tires. DOT's pulling me over. I'm 1,500 pounds overweight. I get a $255 to $10,000 ticket.
Yeah.
See, we got to be people of integrity.
Yeah.
If we're going to ever produce anything in the Lord, let's bow our heads. I got to stop. I done went over.